It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Today's episode of the Nick Bob Podcast is brought to you by Pella Windows and Doors. If you're looking to install some new windows or a new door, a great place to start with Pella is their showrooms. It sometimes helps to actually see the windows, see the doors, open them, close them, to get a better feel for exactly what you're going to be installing in your house. Showrooms, really, really cool. They got showrooms in Omaha and in Lincoln, so check them out. Or you can check Pella out online at PellaOmaha.com. That's PellaOmaha.com. And the Nick Bob Podcast is brought to you by my good pals at Runza. You know, I love it when I get these kinds of tweets. Cody tweeted at me and said this: hit up the Runza super secret menu today. Had pickles put on my Runza. Who'd have thought? Thanks, Nick. Love it, Cody. You need to take advantage of the super secret menu. You can put anything within reason on a Runza. You want pickles like Cody did? Go for it. You want ranch on your Runza? Go for it. You want pepper jack cheese? Go for it. Why? Because every Runza starts as an original Runza sandwich, so you can add anything in the kitchen, within reason, onto your Runza sandwich and make it absolutely yours and delicious. Get out to Runza and give it a try today. Runza makes it all better. All right, well, on the pod today, we got a long overdue wine pod with my guy, Bo Rude. And if you're new to the pod, wine pods with Bo Rude are pretty simple. We open a bottle of wine, we drink it, record a pod. And the pod isn't over until the bottle of wine is completely gone, which is never a problem for me and Bo. And this pod just went so far off the rails, like so far off the rails, that I've had to break it up into two parts. We almost went like 2 hours when we sat down and knocked all this out. So today is part one. And since this time of the year for local sports, things slow down a little bit. And so I always call this time of year list season, where you see it, whether it's for the Omaha World Herald, Husker Extra, Lincoln Journal Star, SI, ESPN, The Athletic, various types of top five and top 10 lists usually come out. And, you know, they're fun to read, they're fun to do, fun to debate. And I decided to kind of come up with a little twist on mine here. So I decided to make a whole bunch. I made like 10 different categories of top five and top 10 lists on everything from top 10 NBA players of all time, top 10 sports movies of all time, top five inventions in my life. Like, this thing gets crazy, and we have a ton of fun. Bo and I debate my lists, and as you can imagine, we go off on tangents and things get absolutely ridiculous, but a tons of fun. So let's get to it, man. Here we go. Part one, the List Wine Pod with yours truly and former Blackshirt, former All Big 12 linebacker, Bo Rude. Enjoy. All right. It's long overdue. I mean, it is long overdue. A wine pod. Bo Rude, Nick Baugh. We have done what we said. I can't remember now in the last wine pod if we said we weren't going to do this anymore, where we were going to start drinking. We're going to pre-warm up the bottle before the pod starts. That's what we've done here. We're already like, basically each of us got a nice, healthy, full glass left, but the bottle's gone at this point.
The bottle's gone. We go back and forth whether don't drink or drink at all. We pretty much drinking it
all. Well, because now I feel kind of sauced before we're even starting, which is good. But I don't know if people want to listen for like the evolution of the sauce.
What's been the consensus of the listeners?
I think they just like it. I think they like it. I think they just like it, whether it's
so we're overthinking the technique.
I think they're saying, ah, just do it, just whatever. I've always wanted like the beer, like
what technique do you use? They're like,
well,
just,
I think they're like,
just
I don't care. But I think they must be able to listen to it in our voices that we're a little saucied, because sometimes I wonder, like, we could just not be drinking wine and say we are. We need to add some. We need to start videotaping this, yeah, so people can see how, you know, what we're really doing here. But we are here.
Do we need to get out of our sweatpants then?
Yeah, I know. That's the only thing. We keep on saying that we want to start. Okay, we're going to start adding video. We're going to do these things, but like that requires like, I've worked out today. I haven't showered. You came over. I put on 10 strokes of deodorant under each arm. I sprue a little cologne on myself, and just so you know, I wouldn't reek. How many
strokes of deodorant do you do before? Like, so Bo Root is getting ready to go out for the day.
As little as possible.
Okay, what's as little as possible?
So I'm kind of like, I don't know if I heard Matthew McConaughey say that. He's like, I don't wear, hey man, I don't wear no deodorant. So
He's not a deodorant guy?
I don't think he wears deodorant.
Really?
And I'm a guy that, like, if I'm going to go somewhere and be amongst people,
right,
I'll throw.
Like, how many strokes?
A one down, maybe a one up.
Wow. So me doing 10 to 12 is I am 10 times the amount of strokes.
Okay, Nick, let me just remind you of something. Did you not give yourself 100 applications?
No,
it was
75.
75?
Because my brother he said this in his best man speech.
Yes.
That, you know, his whole thing, I always felt like I had to be the guy that kept Nick in line, all this stuff. And he had a talk with me in like seventh grade, like, hey man, you're starting to smell. Because think about at some point, like, you just don't even think about your appearance
until you're, sixth, seventh grade.
Seventh grade is the first time I cared about what I was wearing.
Oh, yeah.
But even then, I was like, we're going to go with cargo shorts and a Southeast basketball camp t-shirt. So it's not like we went, like, really crazy on our fashion. But, like, for the longest time, and this is kind of the beauty of being a kid. You don't care what you're wearing. You don't care what your hair looks like. You don't care what you smell like. You don't care about any of that stuff.
If I remember right, you wore Umbros.
Oh, yeah.
And long socks.
Oh, yeah.
And maybe
various t-shirts, Jordan t-shirts.
What kind of shoes was it? Wasn't Airwalk, but you were wearing like Puma?
Chucks or Pumas or something.
Pumas,
like that? I don't
maybe.
Know for a while.
Yeah, it was a bad look.
There's a girl I had a crush on that wore high socks, and I thought, what if I wear high socks?
And
I was in Lawrence Moten.
Lawrence Moten was big time in
Lawrence Moten, maybe. So there were a bunch of different things. Crush, Lawrence Moten.
It was an easy get to find those high socks.
Easy to just go high socks with it. But no, so my brother Alex tells me I smell, and he's like, can you start wearing deodorant? And so he gives me deodorant, and I was doing 75. So think about that.
75.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, up to 75. I mean, I can't believe I didn't get like a rash
Oh,
man. By the way, so at Irving Middle School, we never were in the same shop class, like construction tech or whatever. But there was a teacher who will remain nameless, but he used the gel. Remember the gel?
Oh, yeah.
And homeboy, I remember one time I went back into his office. There were probably 14 little things of like
he was
the gel. Like did he have a
problem? Profusely sweat. I remember he always sweat like the whole day.
Have you ever used the gel?
I've used the gel.
Used the spray? At Kansas, they brought us a bunch of spray. And so for a long time, I'd like shower after practice and like.
Is that would they use the same spray that like in a bowling alley in the
Pretty
shoes?
Pretty much. It was like, I never liked that. But you're coming from a guy that started out with 75 strokes of deodorant.
No, I mean, I'm actually as little. So if I'm,
I am
not to wear it.
But you're
unless,
a cologne guy, right?
Only if I'm going out.
If you're trying to do your thing really go out there and do your thing. Really, see, I am like. I try to golden rule how I smell. Is it that hard to not smell good?
But see, I smell good from
so
the shower.
So do I. I shower, but I also want to like, I'm pretty much every time I go anywhere. Like I'm talking, I'm on the road. I'm in Indianapolis. Yeah. I'm going to go to Butler's Shootaround at 10 o'clock in the morning. Not a ton, you know, but just a little mist just so like, I think people appreciate, like, oh, that guy smelled good.
Smelling good's not a bad thing. I definitely don't want to smell bad. I'd say
there's
I lean towards all natural just because I don't like to have a bunch of gunk on me.
Yeah.
But, like, if I'm going to, like I went to a wedding the other week and, like, yeah, I hit a little cologne because you're hugging girl, you know.
Yeah. You don't. That's a different. A wedding, you'll do cologne. Yeah. But you're going
to
go.
I'm coming to Nick Baugh's house.
You're not going
to
don't
do
care.
A podcast.
So you don't appreciate that I did 10 strokes of deodorant and a hit of cologne?
You did not have to do that.
All right. That's fine.
Because I did not do that. No cologne, nothing.
I've committed to the same cologne for my whole life. I've gotten more compliments about my cologne.
I used to get it. I believe is it?
Acqua di Gio, Giorgio Armani.
Okay, that's the same. I know I literally remember the bottle.
Because in college, girls would be like, ew, that smells good. I'd be like,
Nick said, file save.
File save
use
has
that.
Never change ever in this moment, 2005.
But truthfully, why would you ever change it if that one smelled good and you get compliments? You know that's good.
Yes.
Why would you need to change it?
I don't know. So once my mother-in-law bought me some new cologne and I tried it and I felt like all I did was smell like my body has gotten used to the smell of my cologne. So it's like I'm like numb to it. My senses is numb to it. I tried new cologne and I felt like all I could do is smell it the whole time I was walking around. So I didn't like it.
I got a serious question for you.
Okay? Yeah. Okay. We're already serious. We're 6 minutes in.
Do you remember Pepe Le Pew?
Oh, yeah.
Now, he was a French skunk. Correct?
that was a little inappropriate.
I mean, he was a harasser. So he harassed all the...
horrific harasser.
He was trying to always get some. He's harassing these...
He hollered at the female skunks.
Female skunks trying to get his thing.
Yes.
Was he stinky because he he wore a lot of cologne? Or was he stinky because French people stink?
I think both. I think that's the joke.
I don't know.
I think that's the joke.
I'm trying to...
Is that kind of the joke?
It's
like a double entendre. It's like he's a skunk and he's French.
French people stink.
A skunk stinks. We'll let you...
And French guys hit on girls
at a higher rate than...
And
whatever.
They're always chasing... They're chasing...
Yeah.
But I didn't understand if it was like he was wearing too much...
Because did he put cologne on all the time?
I think he was like... I couldn't remember if it was because he wore all the cologne or is it just because like French people stink.
I don't know. That's a good question because I don't know. Or the part of the cologne he was putting on was his own skunk's nastiness.
I don't know. It made me think of Pepe Le Pew.
Oh, that's good.
I don't know why.
This is... Well, here's the thing. Is all we have to do... We're 8 minutes in and we've gone off the rails here.
Ah, Nick.
Well,
we
but okay. It. Yada, yada, yada. When we start doing videos for this, we're going to have to we're going to have to dress halfway decent.
You have to dress decent, yeah.
We can do that.
When you make the move to video, you got to...
We can do that at some point.
Come video ready.
We'll do that at some point,
yeah,
okay?
We'll get that.
Okay, so here's the thing. I was texting you, and this time of year, there's not a lot... I mean, there's NBA playoffs going on that me and you could talk for forever about, but nevertheless, we got to know our audience, all that stuff. This is a time of year where lists become prevalent, but oftentimes it's like, you know, lists of like Sam McEwen did, like, I ranked, like, list the position groups in order of, like, weakest to strongest, whatever. I took this is what I'm going to call the list pod. We got a list wine pod going here.
I like it.
And I got a bunch of different lists of things that I'm going to, like my top five or top 10 on things. Just a little preview of what people are. I'm going to give you my top 10 NBA players, top 10 inventions/advancements in my lifetime.
Okay.
Top 10, or no, this is top five shocking things. I'm not doing like, you know, the Oklahoma City bombing or anything like that. I'm keeping it light with some of the shocking things with it. Top 10 sports movies, top 10 TV shows and characters, top 10 feelings, top five feelings, excuse me, top five Nebraska football games, top five or top 10 beers, and I'll explain that in a little bit. So we got a lot to get to here.
I don't know if we're going to be able to get to it all.
We'll see.
First of all, I love lists.
I know.
As you know this.
I know.
I
was going to do this myself. When you text me, we're like, we need to get together. I was like, oh God, because I was putting this guy. I'm like, you know, it would be great to be, but I kind of think about that everything in my life. Like there isn't any situation in my life. Like, you know, what would make this situation better? Bo.
People get really annoyed with us that we both say that, but yeah, it's always better.
Do we want to start light and fun?
I think we start with your obscure ones.
You want to start obscure?
Your technology ones and your feelings ones were the ones I was really kind of
interested. Okay, how about this? Let's start with top five shocking things in my life.
Yes, there we go.
So from 1984 on. We're getting a starting point here. And the way I kind of thought of this was like things that in my life, if you would come back in a time machine and say, hey, this is... explain something to them, you'd just be like astonished by it, okay? The first thing I wrote down was Nebraska football kind of falling off. If you would have told me in 1994, 1995, 1996, 1997, when we are growing up in the city of Lincoln, hey, there's going to hit a point where Nebraska football is going to be struggling, going through coaches, not finishing in the top 25, not playing for national championships, like getting blown out. I could not have even fathomed it. That was the first thing I wrote down, was Nebraska football falling off. Is that unbelievable to you?
You know, if I were to go back, even my first year is 2003, unthinkable.
Okay.
It's unthinkable that Nebraska is not relevant and they're not a top 10 or 20. It wasn't possible then. Even by the end of my career, which was the start of the Pelini era, right when I left, Pelini came in, I still probably wouldn't have thought that was going to last. Like, I thought we were going to be back.
Well, because here's the thing. The thing that's so amazing. When Bill Callahan got fired in 2007, you guys were just one season removed from playing Oklahoma in Kansas City for the Big 12 championship.
Yeah, like, and we should have beat them. We were better than they were, and we just played terrible.
So, it's when you think about the ebb and flow of this thing, like, things fell apart fast, right? Like, things unraveled pretty quick. But I'm just saying, like, even growing up, like, when Nebraska lost to Arizona State in 96, it was like, now granted, we were in the midst of a historical 2-3-4 year run then, but it was like, what? You couldn't even wrap your mind around it. When you and I would sometimes go to games together, it was, and get the dance team to smile at us and laugh. We were convinced one dance team girl was like,
I still
all about us,
her.
And we were like 9.
I still remember her. Is that bad?
But here, the fact that we're talking about it shows how much the game was like.
It was a given.
It was a given. It was how bad. What's the score going to be at halftime? Is it going to be 42-0? Is it going to be 35-7?
We left in the third quarter frequently. So many times just because it was like you got your tailgate, your game. Halftime, you run outside and grab a bite. Come back in, watch.
Got a Tom Rude caramel. He always had his caramels.
And then you beat the traffic back out,
and you go and play football at home.
Yeah, 2.5 hours, you're home.
You're home.
It's great.
But so that was the first thing I wrote down. Okay. Nebraska football falling off. The second thing, Blockbuster Video falling apart.
Is now, that shocking?
For you, because one time you made a comment, I will like be a witness to this, like in 1998, you were like, one day I think every movie is going to just be one little box.
Well, whenever TiVo came out.
Yes.
So that might have been late 90s, early 2000s. That's where it hit
It started
me.
To click for you a little
I
bit?
I just said, I'm not buying a DVD again. I saw people who were buying.
I was guilty of that.
And I go, wait a minute. I go, I kind of saw what was happening with the internet and music. And I said, at some point, everything's going to be in one little box. And that was an outrageous comment.
I vividly remember you telling me, and I was like, what?
And I said, I'm not buying another DVD.
Basically, you called like Netflix, Hulu, like you called it.
But not in that way. I called it like it was going to just be like a box where everything was loaded onto. That's the way I thought then.
Right.
It wasn't like, I couldn't think of streaming and, you know, the cloud. Like, you just can't think that
no,
way, right?
No.
That's a hard way to think. But I saw the big picture where, like, technology's moving towards, like,
true.
You can have it all in one place now. And all this other stuff is going away.
Because we were in college from, you know, I mean, 03 to 08, 04 to 08, that area. And it was like, that was the days of, like, you went and bought DVDs. Like, your status was part, like, how many DVDs you got?
So when you invite a girl over on, it's a college night, and you go, okay, girl, check out this collection. What movie do you want to watch on our movie date? And
seriously, that's what it was.
I mean, that everybody in college had like the same, like everybody had Will Ferrell.
All the Will Ferrell movies.
Saturday Night Live, Best Of.
Certain guys always had Scarface. Yeah. Like, you know, like
it kind of, you said a lot about who you were. Like, oh, I'm a Wes Anderson guy. Like, oh, you're an indie guy.
Whoa.
Oh, you're an indie guy.
Whoa.
You know, Ryan Held. I got Top Gun. I got Rocky here.
Top Gun box set, Rocky box set.
It's all you need. You really don't need anything else. You watch them over.
Every emotion you could want in a cinematic adventure is in these two films right here.
Let me ask you something. What's Will Honus got for that?
Bloodsport.
Fucking.
Just headbutting people. It's what he's doing.
He's got Back to the Future and Bloodsport.
That's it. Time travel and just hitting people in the head. That's what's happening. But, okay, for me, Blockbuster, like, Blockbuster was the best, and I just can't believe it fell apart, okay? Yeah. Shocking to me.
To
a simple-minded man, okay? The third thing, SportsCenter not being a big deal.
Let me ask this. When did it fall off? Because I watched pretty religiously through 2010, through 2000... 13, 14.
Good question. When did it really?
I don't know. Maybe when streaming, and I think it's when streaming got so much better.
The popular thing would be, because there's a bunch of different things that have eliminated SportsCenter's importance. First of all, the explosion
of media
of being able to have, you know, things like, you know, having a league pass and watching every NBA game, or Sunday Ticket watching every NFL game, or same thing with all the different explosions of networks to have all the different college football games on. Where growing up in, for us, it was like, if you wanted to watch, okay, what did Jordan do tonight? You had to watch SportsCenter to get the highlights of what Jordan did to the Supersonics. You know what I mean?
They had a monopoly on highlights.
Highlights.
And at what point did that monopoly go away? I'd say in 2010, they still had the monopoly.
Now that you're saying that.
I want to say by like 2015 is when I was like, maybe it started really slipping.
I think it's a, I mean, because the popular thing too is what I just said, but then also, see, you don't have like social media. Like now Twitter, like for instance, yesterday, Knicks Hawks, RJ Barrett had an unbelievable dunk, or Trae Young's game winner, right? Yeah. That shot is on Twitter in a minute. So you get to see that shot instantly.
Why would you go to SportsCenter?
So why does SportsCenter necessary? So and I'm trying to remember when really like the highlight thing infiltrated Instagram and Twitter. So maybe this is a more recent thing than I think, but I guess it's more of a, it's that me writing it down is more of a nod to how big of a deal SportsCenter was.
The
like to
90s?
Me, the creme de la creme of being on TV as like an anchor was being a SportsCenter anchor.
I mean,
Dan Patrick, Keith Olbermann, those people were huge.
You know, Van Pelt, like these guys, like that's where you, Stuart Scott, to get to SportsCenter. Like that was the pinnacle of sports almost. And I do think you might be right that it's actually not as long ago as you think. Like it might have been 2013, 14, 15.
That's interesting you put it that way.
Because the internet, like if you think about the internet, like, okay, internet was around since the 90s. It wasn't really great to me until like the 2010 on.
Right.
Where smartphones started taking off. Instagram, Twitter, all that. I mean, I was never on it, but I know that by like,
you're right
the,
though.
The mid 20 teens is where like
it started humming. It's and really
like
being good.
Yeah. 4G. It got fast. Yeah. It got, and I think that's where SportsCenter like they lost the monopoly pretty quick.
Right. But I guess more of it is a nod to like growing up. Every Sunday during the NFL season, like you had to watch. This isn't SportsCenter, but it's a version of it. NFL primetime was like must-see TV. SportsCenter every night at 10 o'clock was must-see TV. And when they even invented the rundown on SportsCenter, so you knew, because sometimes you had SportsCenter, like, man, I just want to see what Jordan did or whatever. And you could see like Bulls, Knicks coming up at the third. You could be like, yeah, no one's coming here. But that was a big deal, man. SportsCenter was a huge deal growing up. The Nick Bob Podcast is brought to you by Pella Windows and Doors, and I want to talk to you guys about energy efficiency. And if you go onto Pella's website right now, you look at it, and how about this? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 different types of windows or doors by Pella won the Energy Star 2020 Most Energy Efficient Award. That's big time stuff right there. And they achieved that in a couple of waves. They got insulated glass, which slows the heat transfer, keeping your home at a more comfortable temperature. They got types of low E glass, which is a glass coating that has been optimized for your climate. They got triple pane glass, which you can upgrade to for increased insulating airspace. And within all of that, one of the keys is proper installation, which is key for window and doors to perform at their best. And you know the Pella experts are excellent at that. Bottom line, energy efficiency matters in making your home more comfortable, and Pella Windows and Doors are at the top of the line when it comes to energy efficiency. Check them out online, PellaOmaha.com. That's PellaOmaha.com.
I'll tell you what, that's a killer for ESPN, though, that like now that like we talk about it, I'm like, man, I don't know that I turn on SportsCenter, but once a month, maybe, and just like for 10 seconds, and I'm like, meh.
I don't. And that's not, you know, I love Scott Van Pelt. Like, I love him. I just don't watch it, you know? But like, you had to intently watch it back in the day. So that's next thing along those lines. I don't know where you're going to come out on this, because I think I was born into this in you. Growing up, it was hard. It would have been hard for me to ever imagine a world where music videos didn't greatly impact an artist, a song's popularity, how someone was viewed. Even hell, I knew about music video directors. Hype Williams was the big hip-hop video director. Like, so if you knew, hey man, there's a new Jay-Z, there's a new Jay-Z song, and the video is directed by Hype Williams, you knew, like, okay, this is gonna be enormous. Wow, so the whole idea of music videos have no bearing on anything anymore.
Yeah, this is I really like your category because it's a lot of what has gone away almost.
Yeah, maybe that's the way. Shocking things is the right way to put it.
Like, it's almost like the things that
once were big that have become non-existent.
Yeah, I mean, because in the 90s it was always channel 28 and 29,
yes.
MTV and VH1. And so
I went to 40 to BET because your boy had to get his hip-hop.
You got me into BET.
Oh, of course I did.
You know, I was more of a, probably more of a VH1 guy.
Oh, yeah, you were a VH1 guy.
Because I got some of the good classic rock. I was like, this is great.
Like, Clapton Unplugged. I was like, come on, man. They got Juvenile Back That Ass Up on BET going right now.
But it's good. I got the diversity of all. So that's what I like. But it was like in the 90s. So a lot of our listeners, I think, are, you know, children of the 90s, they're underage, you know, but or they, even the 80s, you got a lot of MTV. But your music video kind of became what people remembered you for as an artist, right? Like everybody, you know, even the big rock band, like remember like Aerosmith and Alicia Silverstone or whatever?
Yeah.
Like it was like that's what they're known. That's like basically became what they were remembered
when
as.
When I hear Aerosmith Crazy, I think of that video.
Yeah, like you think of her, like you think of...
Even November Rain, Guns N' Roses, you think of that video.
Yeah, and then it's Nirvana, then you think of like the West Coast rap, you think of like, there's a certain look that now that's like burning...
Gin and Juice video, I remember that.
It burns into your brain what that, like the image and the music go hand in hand, where now... I don't see, maybe I know they still make videos.
I know they still, like right now we could type in a new song.
Do you know?
And they would probably have a video for it.
Do you know
it.
Where they have the videos actually now? This is, I just found this out. On Spotify, they'll like have videos running kind of with some of the the music, but I don't think people actually most time watch it.
But I mean.
But Nick, I know what
you
you're
know what
saying.
I'm like, saying though. Like
that was the biggest thing. Like music and music videos. Like it was
the video
with,
had to be legit, man. Like
it started Michael Jackson in the '80s. You know, you got your from Thriller. He has Beat It. He has Thriller. Billie Jean. These are all like it explodes music videos. Then everybody has to have a music video. You didn't make it unless you were. Had a great song with a great music
basically video. The music video had to be as good as the song or, you know, they were just one and the same.
Yeah.
You know, Madonna Like a Virgin. I remember that video. Like, Mo Money, Mo Problems. Vividly remember it. You know, the start of the video, they pan to a green and Puff Daddy is Puffy Woods. and you remember, and they're, you know, they got the big puffy suits on and they're all, like, you remember those things. Mariah Carey, all of Mariah Carey's videos were huge.
Yep.
And... That was a part of consuming music and a huge part of what made an artist big.
Well, here I would say I'd argue that that's where we got most of
our
the
music.
New hits. Is like I remember going to your kitchen counter and you had that little TV,
yeah,
and it was basically be like it'd be after school or whenever we like we'd get that like 4 o'clock. It'd be like TRL or it'd be like the top, you know,
yes, the top 10 songs,
top
of the day,
10 songs,
top 10 video, yes,
top 10 videos, and. You just like it was built. Everybody had the same experience too.
Yes,
that was what was kind of cool about it. It was like everybody knew those top videos, and I think that's the one thing that you talk about. People talk about the experience, the American experience, like with the new technology giving you everything you want and all the different platforms. The one thing you miss is that share. Like
completely
every year you go back, you talk to people in the 70s, and everybody watched the same 7 shows. It was like Gilligan's Island, Happy Days, like
MASH,
Mad, and they all knew where they were when the certain things happened. Everybody could relate to the same shows. And I'd say our generation has that with MTV, VH1. you know, like it was all that same stuff where we knew the same videos, same songs.
Totally.
And I don't think the new generation does not get that.
Does not get that. And so I just think, like, you know, for me, that was something I wrote down. Like, music videos were a huge deal.
Huge.
Up. Huge deal. And then the last one, I couldn't quite, there's a bunch of them, but I, like, this is coming from a guy that was in the Michael Jordan fan club. Like, I had to, like, submit something, and they sent me, like, an autograph. Like, I was, and, like, I mean, I'm looking at my, I went to Michael Jordan basketball camp. It's me and Jordan before seventh grade. Like, I guess the thing I wrote down was someone even being in the conversation with being as good as Michael Jordan, and I'm talking about LeBron. Like, if someone had told me that in 1998, like, hey, man, there's going to be a kid that is going to come from Ohio, and it's going to be debatable. It's going to be debatable. You and I both still pick Jordan. Yeah. But it's not like it's a, you know, there's certain things, like, aren't even debatable. Like, I can't sit here and look you in the eye and say, hey, man, Doug Flutie's as good as Tom Brady. Like, that's not debatable.
No.
Like, come on. But, like, LeBron James, Michael Jordan, like, you can debate that. That's a shocking thing to me.
We were actually talking about this before, like, The 11 trips to the finals.
I mean, think about that.
It's amazing.
That's incredible. That amazing. Is incredible.
That's like, I mean, I think who did, like, I think the Celtics guys did that. Bill Russell did that.
We devalue that in our society.
Yeah, and like Jerry West went there a whole bunch and lost a whole bunch. But in the modern day, to go as long as LeBron has, it's amazing.
It's incredible. Really, yeah. I bring it. We're both still Team MJ. We both love Bron, but like we're both Team MJ. But I just, for me, like Jordan was God.
Yeah.
From 1991 to 1998, he was God.
How old was he when he retired? Is he 36?
He was born February 17th, 1963. So in 1998, he would have been 35?
35 is...
So he'd be about what Bron was a year ago when he retired.
Yeah.
And that's what taking a break for a little bit
and
with
he went
baseball.
To college. So LeBron's got that many more seasons in the NBA.
Yes. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
How about that?
LeBron's going to be the all-time leading scorer, I think.
Yes. I think that's the next big thing to like... I was debating somebody with this the other day. Like, I still have Jordan number one player of all time, but I think when it's all said and done, LeBron's probably going to have the best career of all time. And I can separate those two. Like, even you can make a case right now, Kareem's got the best career of all time. If you include college and all that stuff.
If like, you include college,
Kareem Abdul-Jabbar probably has the best basketball career of all time.
Yeah. Kareem, because, yeah, Kareem's like high school, college.
Yes.
Like, because, I mean.
He's five, what is he, five titles, Kareem?
He was five titles with the Lakers. Yeah, and then one with the Bucks.
Right.
And then he had three with UCLA because his freshman year he wasn't allowed to play.
Think about that. That's right. Back in the day, he couldn't play as a freshman. So yeah. I just think like.
But Bill Russell.
Yeah, Bill Russell's got an unbelievable career.
Bill Russell. I mean, I you could argue Bill Russell all day long because he's got the rings.
Right. But how about okay? So those are my top five. I don't know what you'd put it. Shocking things you miss. Basically,
know,
it's all a wink to like, hey man, did you grow up in the 90s?
That's what. It should
Can call. You believe this? Remember the new releases? Remember going to Blockbuster and they didn't have the movie?
That was not shocking. That was just, I grew up in the 90s. I don't know what that was. What was that category? I don't know.
Basically, that category was, if you grew up in the 90s, remember these things?
People that grew up in the 90s will love that. If you grew up in like...
Here are my 90s. It's remember Nebraska football, remember Blockbuster Video, remember music videos, remember SportsCenter, and can you believe someone's maybe as good as Jordan?
That just should have been called That should have been called the Chris Farley Show. You remember?
You remember Blockbuster?
Remember Blockbuster?
I'm sorry.
Nick, that was fun though.
Was that okay?
Nick, that's the stuff I love, so.
Okay.
You gotta.
Well, okay, so since we're going to have to bang through this one quick because we could go for forever. Since we already started going the NBA, you want me to give my top 10 NBA players of all time real quick?
Give it to me.
Let me give it to you quick. Jordan 1. Okay.
Okay.
Bron 2.
Woo. Okay.
Wow. Whoa, I'm getting a woof from you already.
I'm probably going to agree with you, though.
You know what? I didn't have this guy there, but I think sometimes you can't. There's a balance with my list of...
Kobe's jumped higher because...
Kobe's three. I got Kobe 3.
I think that's an emotional play.
It is. But I also think you can't be... There's a balance of being disingenuous versus always not acting like anybody that you didn't. Because here's the problem. Especially as you get older, this ends up mattering to you. People are such prisoners of the moment that they act like anything that happened before they were born doesn't exist. But at the same time, you also are a product of what you saw. And it's just hard for me to be like, I think Bill Russell's third. It's like, I mean, so I'm going to put Kobe 3. Disagreement?
Here, and this is where I'm going to, I'm probably Mr. Not Politically Correct here. I think you didn't have Kobe.
I didn't have him 3. He was not in my top 5.
3. So
he was like 8th.
That's what I mean. Like, if he was 4 and he went to 3, that's different. He went from 8 to 3.
I was having a conversation with somebody in Las Vegas 2 weeks ago. We were talking about top 10 NBA players of all time. And he just looked at me and said, you don't have Kobe top 5? And have you ever had someone just say something to you? And you kind of go, he's one of the 5 best players I've ever seen.
I don't know. I think Kobe's top 10.
Okay.
But I guess the difference is I think – like Kobe dying, like it was.
No, there's a part of that. I mean, when you tragically die, you know, like this. For instance,
it's emotional,
like,
right?
Like for instance, this is. I mean, not to go like this is also like a delicate thing to go down. Like Biggie's a great rapper. Biggie's not the greatest rapper of all time, but him dying young and after only 2 albums,
yeah,
somehow almost helps his legacy or like his rank.
Yes.
If that makes sense?
Yes.
Sometimes that's how it can be. But like, yeah. I don't have Biggie in my top 5 rappers of all time. But some people I feel like feel this pull. Like, man, Biggie, man. It's like, he's got 2 albums.
Yeah,
he doesn't have longevity. I mean, he's great, you know, like, but...
But Kobe had the longevity.
That's what I'm saying. Kobe's got 5... Like, I think we want to... For some reason, here's the problem. Kobe had, in the middle of his prime, he had a 3 or 4 year stretch where he was labeled the selfish, bad teammate, that takes a while to shake off. And I think, like, the more you learn about this guy, the more you realize, like, oh, he wasn't a bad... He was more like Jordan. Like, think if Jordan wouldn't have won and gotten help.
I don't know. I guess here's the way I look at it. You can make the jump... From 4 to 3.
8 to 3 is too high for you?
8 to 3 when you didn't play anymore. And a year goes by. Like, what could move you from 8 to 3 other than just, like, he emotionally?
Died. Yeah. Maybe you're right. Nick, I'm not like...
Nick, we did our Kobe pod, and it was emotional.
Yeah, I cried.
You were crying.
Yeah.
That's your guy. You love Kobe. You named your dang dog after him.
Yeah.
But he was 8 a year ago.
Right.
He's now 3.
He's 3 to me.
Nick,
he's got 5 rings, bro.
I know, but I'm saying
he scored 81 points in a game.
Why
bruh.
Was he not 3?
Because I was succumbing to the, like, you have to think about the
Bill 19. Simmons.
I was succumbing to Bill Simmons, like, you have to think about the Pantheon and
1969. I'm trying to be unemotional. Like, I'm not going to be emotional about that. I'm trying to be unemotional, and I'm probably being too unemotional about it. But like,
That's what I'm trying to balance, like, interjecting my emotion and my eyes with reason and all that. Okay.
Yes.
So Jordan 1, Bron 2, Kobe 3, Magic 4.
Okay.
Bird 5.
Okay.
Kareem 6.
Yep.
Shaq 7.
Okay.
Bill Russell 8.
Okay.
Wilt Chamberlain 9.
Okay.
And I was honestly thinking this before Bill Simmons brought it up in a pod, but Bill Simmons has his 16th in his pantheon. I got Steph at 10.
Wow. Wow.
He's the best shooter of all time.
He is the best shooter ever to live.
He was a unanimous MVP.
How many times? At least 2, 3?
Well, he's the first. I want to say
he's going to be 3 now, right?
He might win it this year. I don't know if he's a finalist. But like,
I think he's
in 2015 or 2015, he was unanimous MVP.
I think he's won it twice. And I think
his team won 73. They didn't win time, but they won 73 games.
Yeah.
And you could argue. Now don't like. You could argue he has changed basketball as much or more than any other player to ever live.
Okay, so I actually would probably agree with you more about Steph making a huge jump to the top 10 before I think you make the jump Kobe to the top three.
This season, I think I've learned a lot about Steph this season.
Steph looks stronger.
He's like kind of like Debo-ing people at times.
He looks more muscular, and he also I forget that, like, he's becoming kind of an old guy, and he still looks quick.
Yes, he's getting by people, getting to his spots.
So that means, it tells me he's probably got like a good 5 years of being like good still.
So okay.
So I actually am not going to press back on you too hard on Steph, because his shooting has changed basketball as much as anybody that I've seen in the last 30 years.
Yes.
In any way, really.
Yes. Okay. Because rather than getting the minutia of like, I'd have him at 6 and him at 7, the big things I wanted to ask you, biggest snubs. I mean, would you say, I mean, the guys that I thought of are like Isaiah, Oscar Robertson, Jerry West, Tim Duncan.
I think Duncan, if you were to say right now, between Tim Duncan and
like, who are you putting
a guy that I know only so much about is Oscar Robertson. I just don't know enough. There's a lot of evidence out there that says that
big O's.
In his time, he was amazing.
Yes.
Right? Triple-double type of guy, right. Just dominating, awesome. One ring with Kareem, that doesn't help him.
Right.
So I guess I don't, I've yet to see I saw one game, his NBA Finals game with Kareem. I've seen one game and highlights with him. I mean, at least Bill Russell, I've seen like so many highlights that I'm like, the guy was a defensive genius. And he's the ultimate winner.
He won 11 rings. I mean,
if you win 11 rings,
I don't care.
You are the ultimate winner.
Yes.
And
so he cannot be like you cannot have Wilt ahead of him.
No, no. Wilt almost. And it's funny. This is a Bill. I heard Bill Simmons do his book of basketball, yeah. And they're talking about Rick Barry. But basically, I think it was Rick Barry and somebody else basically called Wilt a loser.
Right.
And if people in your own league call you a loser, you can't be in my top five. Maybe not my top 10. So I Russell over Wilt every time. I put Kobe over Wilt. I'd put Kareem over Wilt.
I got Kareem over Wilt.
I'd maybe put Shaq over
Wilt. I got Shaq over Wilt. I think arguably the most underrated player right now is Shaq. I don't think people understand from 1992 to 2002, Shaquille O'Neal every NBA playoff game was like 37 and 17.
Yeah, here's the thing about Shaq that's the always the elephant in the room is like everybody knows all he had to do was work a little bit harder.
Yeah, he could have been the greatest.
He could have been the best top three without even really trying that much harder because right. He's so unbelievably huge and athletic.
Yes, light on his feet. Yeah,
super like, athletic for being 7'2 and like 360 pounds.
Right.
Like super athletic, but he's just a little bit of that like, big and silly and just kind of like didn't really care.
That's it.
He didn't really. I mean,
I would say the guys that I struggle.
You struggle with Bill Russell is who you struggle
with.
Well,
no, I mean, no, I'm saying in terms of the guys that are not in my top 10 that I'm like, I squirm a little bit with him not being in there. I think Duncan. I mean, Duncan's got 5 rings.
Duncan.
He was the cornerstone behind a kind of a dynasty.
Yeah.
You know, like that's hard.
Yeah.
The problem is Duncan's just so meat and potatoes, vanilla, you know, but like, yeah. Listen, it's not about highlights and, you know, like
20 years.
Did it for 20 years and did it really good. The Nick Bob Podcast is brought to you by my good friends at Runza. Everybody that knows my athletic background, you know, I was a quarterback in high school, but you know, I believe in establishing the run game. And even more than that, I believe in establishing the Runza game. That's an original Runza cheeseburger. Some onion rings, double dipped in a homemade batter, little bit of a pop to top it off. You know, in football, you establish a run. But at lunch, you establish the Runza. It's just that simple. So get out to Runza today and establish the Runza game, or check out the delicious salads. You got the chicken bacon ranch salad, sweet berry chicken salad, and my personal favorite, the Southwest chicken salad. You got to get out to Runza, establish a Runza game, or get a salad. Either way, you are going to leave satisfied. Runza makes it all better. I struggle with Isaiah. I think Isaiah is up there. I think Jerry West is up there.
Yeah.
Those are the biggest ones I probably struggle with.
Yep. And Jerry West is interesting because he was so good. His team made to a lot of finals, didn't win.
Right.
So that's where it's tough. You know, you're not going to put him over Kobe because Kobe won.
He won.
Kobe was damn good. So, like, you're not putting him over Kobe. You're not going to put him over Duncan because Duncan won.
Right.
So, like, that's where I'll lean towards the guys that get the rings. I'll lean towards the guys that really did it longer. Duncan, you know, Russell. Like, give me those guys before you
give me.
I just
can't believe that, like, I mean, Steph has catapulted to me.
But Steph now is, you know, he's got the longevity. Because his longevity is continuing, you know. He's probably going to win maybe MVP this year.
He's got three rings. He's got two MVPs.
Yeah.
He just won a scoring title. He's the greatest shooter of all time, and the statistics are going to, like,
five finals. He lost two. I mean, we're talking, one of our buddies was giving LeBron stuff for not giving him credit for making the finals. Like, I give Jerry West credit for making the finals. I give LeBron credit. I give Steph credit for making it to five and only winning.
I give Brady credit for even though now Brady's got six Super Bowls. Is that what he's got?
Seven.
But, like, I give him, for a long time, people said Montana over him because Montana was, what was it, 4-0. Like,
4-0.
4-0.
Brady's now 7 and he lost 3?
Like, so, I
yeah.
mean, I he's give 7-3. He's got 10. Getting there.
He's gotten there. To get there is a worthy achievement.
Absolutely. Because it's like, say it out loud. It'd have been better for LeBron to lose to, like, the
all
Pacers
those seasons?
In the Eastern Conference Finals. When he was with the Heat?
No, like, to win your conference, it's a big deal.
Yeah.
So, like, you got to give people credit for winning their conference. And that, to me, is, like, I always will. I always give you credit for winning your conference.
I mean, it's hard to get there, man. It's hard to get there.
Yeah. So, in summation, Kobe going to 3.
Kobe skyrocketed.
I'm going to give you a look.
Okay, that's fine.
Okay?
That's fine. But all in all, you don't have a huge issue with the people in my 10.
No, it's all pretty close. Because
then you got dudes like Moses Malone and Dr. J.
What about
and
Hakeem?
Hakeem the Dream would be in that thing.
I mean, he fringes on it. I mean, it's tough. There's like seven
there's a group
centers.
Of those there's a group of those guys, even though some got rings, you know, whether it's Hakeem, Malone, Ewing, Barkley, Reggie Miller, like those 90s guys. Basically, all these guys on this poster here that I'm holding up, the Dream Team poster, all were screwed by Jordan.
Yeah.
Like,
so much better.
I mean, there's so much. So it's tough. It's tough. Okay, you ready for, I think you're going to like, do you want to go back to fun? That was fun, but, like, more lighthearted.
Let's go.
Okay, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. I think I got 10. How about that? Top 10 beers. Beers you can have, okay?
Okay.
The first one I wrote down, a lake beer. Like, you're at a lake, sun shining, 84 degrees, not a cloud in the sky. Open it. It's 2 o'clock in the afternoon. You're in your you got the swimsuit on. You're feeling good. Lake beer.
I like lake beer.
You like that?
Yeah.
Second one I wrote down. Even though this
Am
was
I
always
not gonna like any of these beers.
You're gonna like all. The second thing I wrote down, even though this was always kind of gross, but you knew it was going to be a means to an end, a college party keg beer.
Oh, yeah. No, I think those were good. As long as it wasn't too, like...
Let's be honest. Sometimes you'd be like...
Nah. Like, did they not put this on ice?
Yeah, like, you know what I mean? Like, some of them would just be like, yuck.
Well, you know, our friends, like, they were in frats, they always bought Old Milwaukee. And it seemed like it was, like, skunky.
There were some times you'd be like, this is kind of gross.
Yeah.
But you had to do it.
A good keg beer is really good.
But so, I mean, just think right now. Can you picture what the keg feels like? Oh, man. That's good times, right? Next one. Golf course beer. You're outside. It's kind of like a lake beer, but you're on a course. Crack it open, feeling good about yourself. First beer at a big party. So, like, whether it's a wedding reception or you know it's going to be a big night, it's on that first of, you know, there's going to be a lot of brewskis. Like, this one's going to, here we go.
Okay, here's a thought. Because I almost think the first beer at a event, it's less that's the moment. To me, it's more, how does that beer go down?
Okay.
Does that make
sense?
So,
okay, so now we're getting super specific. You're at an event that could get rowdy, and the first sip yes. tastes really good.
Sometimes you tab the drink, and it's like, wow, that's like nothing tastes better.
Right.
And you can't get enough. And other times you drink it, and you're like, it's harder to drink.
Yes.
And it's like, I'm going to have to force this
down. So you're at a wedding reception or something like that, and the first sip of their first beer just hits. Like, oh.
Then
you know, like, okay, yeah. Here we go.
But see, I'd say in that moment, it can go either way.
True.
But like a lake beer when it's 80 degrees.
It's always good.
It's consistently good.
Right. I'm with you. Because sometimes it cannot hit right.
Yeah.
But if it hits right, that's a great beer.
Yeah.
Beginning of a vacation airport beer. Not really our styles, but if you're really feeling pretty good about yourself, like, you're getting ready to go to Vegas. You're getting ready to go to the beach, whatever like that. Like you have a beer. They're like waiting to get on your plane, on your plane. Those are pretty exciting beers.
I would say Vegas is the one trip that we have the beers pre-first flight. I think, you know, when you go to like with your wife to the Caribbean, man.
Yeah.
You get there and you have your drink at the hotel. That's what happens, right? But I don't think I do that. I don't have the drink with my wife in the airport on the way there. I do with the guys on the way to Vegas.
When the guys going to Vegas, you have one. And that's a pretty exciting, like, here we go. You kind of give each other that look, like, what's this going to be?
Why do we do that? With Vegas, we do it.
It's what you do. It's why I made the list.
We're in Epley, and we go that little hangar spot, and we...
It's what you do. It's what you got to do.
By the way, the guy that does security...
Yeah.
He's a big Nick Baugh fan.
Yes. Every time I go through that, it's on the A gates, I think. Yes. So, like, he's always on one side.
He loves the pod.
And I love him.
He always tells me, hey, tell Nick need more. So we love Epley Airfield.
Cheers.
Security team. They're
cheers
great
to Epley's TSA field and group. You know, that's what we got to cheers to. How about turned 21 can finally legally buy beer?
Now, that beer I don't even remember because it was so good.
But do you remember that first time you truthfully can open, you're at a store, you open the fridge, you grab a 12-pack of Coors Light or whatever, and you go buy it. And they're like, ID, and you're like, here you go, pal. I can do this.
So my 21st birthday was the main game.
Oh, yeah.
2005.
Pick six to seal the game.
Yep, and we got to go straight from the game. So it was my first real game at Nebraska.
God, that was September 2nd?
Yeah, and we got, it was either second or third, I can't really
basically,
remember. It was my first night I could go out. Pick six to win the game, go out in the town, and we had so much fun.
Have you had a better night?
I don't know. I don't really remember
it. At this point.
I remember I told the papers, though, they were asking questions like, I'm going downtown tonight. Because they knew it was my birthday, and I'm like, I'm going down.
I gotta go.
The bar.
Okay, I gotta go see about a beer. You gotta go do.
I gotta go see about a beer.
But that, I wrote down that. This is more if like this kind of works. If you're waiting for your wife or your girlfriend to finish getting ready, beer. So you're in the kitchen, tunes are going, you're dressed, you're ready to walk out the door. They're still doing their thing. You crack open a beer. That's almost better if, like, I'm with you. Like, we're riding together.
That's bro beers. That's a different beer. That's such a different beer, man. I mean,
so should have put bro beers?
Bro beers are a different thing than just,
so,
like,
right,
you're
me,
at home.
We'll
like,
cross that one out, and I'll write bro beers.
Yeah, because you're talking, like, impatient wife late beer. Like, gosh, that's a stressful beer. I am not feeling as good about that beer as if me and you are hanging.
Oh,
that's
man.
Bro beers.
Okay, what about the cliche, long, good work day? Like, it was a long day. You put in a lot of work. It was busy, but it was good. And you get to have a beer to kind of, like, celebrate the good work day and unwind.
You know, I drink more wine in that situation.
Okay,
than
well, then
the
there
beer.
You go. Then you can we can cross that off.
Are you. Are you a long day of work? You don't really work long.
See, I would say I have a beer, or I have wine after. Like, if I go call a great college basketball game on the road, it was like a great game, and I get back to the hotel, you want a beer. or you want a drink.
Okay, so this actually is something I've been thinking about. Like, you know, I listen to a lot of Bruce Springsteen, and it's a lot of like Americana, like you know, working class stuff. And it makes me think about the 70s and the 80s, and this like these you know, the Rust Belt and these steel towns, right? And if you work a job that you are freaking working, you're at the steel mill, you're at the road crew, you're building a house.
Right,
if you're doing that kind of job, and then 4 o'clock hits, it was an American tradition that before you went home, Nick, you went to the bar and you had a beer.
Oh,
and I'm telling you, you see,
that
you say,
beer just sounds
so
good right now.
You tell me, you work a long day, and I go, I don't work that hard.
Yeah, I guess that's my problem. It's like, my long days are not long
days. I
podcasted and I watched, and I called Creighton and Villanova.
Let me
Boy, I earned this beer. It's
no,
like,
that's
no,
what
go,
I'm saying.
Go,
if you go work, if you go jackhammer, that's the beer that you're talking about,
yeah.
Nick. And that is the best beer because your body wants it and you need it. And I think every American deserves that beer before.
Well, then I'm not, because the last one I had was a shower beer as you're getting ready to have a big night, but I'm going to take that one off the list. We're going to wrap up with it. So what do we call that beer? The
working class beer.
The working class every man beer.
Yeah. It's the all American beer.
What I love about these lists is they end up being a joke. I mean, I had the grew up in the 90s. Remember this? Those were the,
do we follow the rules? Not necessarily.
We don't follow those rules. We do not follow those rules.
But are the lists now better?
They're better. All right, that'll do it for part one of the List Wine Pod. As you can already tell, things have gotten crazy. I hope you're enjoying this, because clearly Bo and I are having a lot of fun. Part two drops soon. So in the meantime, make sure you are subscribed to the podcast. That way you don't miss part two of this List Wine Pod or miss any of my podcasts when they drop. All right, thanks for listening. All right, my thanks to Pella. If you're thinking about a new window or a new door, now is the time. Check them out online on the web at PellaOmaha.com. That's PellaOmaha.com. And my thanks to my good friends at Rutzo. Best fries on the planet, great burgers, cheap Runza, delicious. The food is simply fantastic. Runza makes it all better.
A Huda Media Production.